The parsha, just on the parsha, Shmos. Shmos, obviously, we're starting to talk about Moshe Rabbeinu, and we know Moshe Rabbeinu all the way from the beginning of his life. You know, who else do we know about from their birth? We know about Yaakov and Esau from their birth. Yitzchak, we find a little bit about Yitzchak's beginnings, more about before he was born than when he was born. Yishmael, we have a little bit about Yishmael.
Adam and Chava.
Adam and Chava.
Well, yes. They weren't really born.
How old were Adam and Chava when they were born? But here we have Moshe Rabbeinu was born, and we have a whole story about him being a baby. I guess Yaakov and Esau, we have a little bit of an episode about him being a baby, them being babies. But Moshe Rabbeinu, we have a whole story about him being a baby. And now my children's favorite thing to do in the bath is to play Baby Moshe and see which toys float and which toys don't float. So they were doing last night in the bath. Look, it's Baby Moshe. Oh, this one sinks. It's not Baby Moshe.
Oh, good. I'm glad Baby Moshe did.
They know that much. So the question, however, is when Bas Paro comes along, assuming it's Bas Paro, and she comes and she's about to get Moshe Rabbeinu. So what's the measures that Rashi quotes? Right? The Pasuk tells us, Vatishlach es amasa vatikacheha, referring to the boat or the teva. Right? She sent her amata. What's amata? Technically, literally, it means her ama, her maidservant. What does Rashi tell us, though? It's not just her maidservant, but her arm. Right? That her arm extended beyond Amma's worth.
Yeah.
So asks the Chasker Rebbe, I don't understand. Es yadash and es rababa amasa amos harbe, that her hand extended many arms, like Michael Lahavdil, like Michael Jordan's at the end of Space Jam, the arm just extended and it kept going and going and picked up the teva. Umitzchila, says the Chasker Rebbe, my savra bas paro. Think about this for a second. So the Medrash tells us that in order to get Moshe Rabbeinu, her arm had to extend very far. So you're Bas Paro. You're standing at the bank of the river.
You can't reach.
And you say to yourself, maybe my arm will extend many amos long. Let me do it. What is she thinking? Of course she was. Why did she try? She's sitting at the bank of the river thinking to herself, I can't get that. That's too far away. And yet she tries and then her arm extends. Says the Chasker Rebbe, this story is to teach us a very valuable lesson. She clearly saw that she was far away. How do we know that a miracle was going to happen? How did she know? Ela mikan raya, says the Chasker Rebbe, shelagabe kol davar. Kol davar mitzvah, when it comes to any davar mitzvah. So first of all, that's an interesting assumption, that this is a davar mitzvah. It's an assumption that she's Jewish.
She even cared about mitzvah.
What's a mitzvah for her?
She was already going.
Good. So one of the midrashim tells us that when she goes down to the river, she was going to do a tvila to become Jewish. Who exactly made her Jewish? Maybe Miriam. Maybe Yocheved. I don't know.
Well, Miriam was only 6 years old at the time. She's only 6 years older than
Moshe. I think they said there were Mefarshim that say that Miriam taught her Hebrew, right? Because if you look at the pasuk, what does the pasuk says? The pasuk says that she picked him out of the water. Al kein kara shema Moshe, ki min hamayim mishisihu. Well, that's a Hebrew word. This is an Egyptian princess. How does she know Hebrew? Some people say that the Pasuk is using a Hebrew translation of what his name really was, and it was a different name, whatever. This is my favorite Pasuk for people, sometimes in documentaries they translate it. And they named him Moses, for from the water he was drawn. Wait, why did they name him Moses? What does that have to do with that? Obviously, it's Hebrew. Min hamayim mishisihu. The word Moshe comes from being drawn, or to draw, literally. Sarona talks about why it's in the present tense. But it's clear that she knew Hebrew of some kind. So some people say, well, she hung around the Israelites. So some of the Israelites taught her Hebrew, Miriam. And some people say, no, she was actually trying to convert. Why would she try to convert when the entire Jewish people are slaves? I don't know. So, why do people convert even nowadays? They see anti-Semitism in different places. They feel that it's the truth. They feel that there's some kind of tradition that they connect to, and that they believe it's what Hashem wants from us. So the truth is, so when she comes down here, she might literally be Jewish. And when the Kutzke Rebbe says, Kol Davar Mitzvah, maybe this was a Davar Mitzvah for her. She saw a child being through, a Jewish child being down the river. She thought she was going to save the child.
Pikuach Nefesh.
Pikuach Nefesh, it's a mitzvah. She has to save the child. So maybe that's what he's referring to. Maybe he's just talking in general when we have, you know, the destiny of Hashem. In this situation, the destiny of Hashem is to save Moshe Rabbeinu, and for us, it's to do mitzvos. So when it comes to this concept, says the Kutzke Rebbe, Shelagabe kol davar mitzvah, ein lasos cheshbonos. When it comes to doing a mitzvah, we can't start calculating and figuring out how we're going to do it. We come to an opportunity where we can fulfill a mitzvah of Hashem, so we just go try to do it. Doesn't matter what happens, just do it, as Nike says. Ein lefakvek. Don't do the thumbs and try to figure out, well, should I do it? What are the repercussions? What's everybody else going to say? Ve'ein lin hog lefi hagayon. Don't even use your mind. This is not a time for logic. This is not a time where you're going to measure your arm and measure how far Moshe Rabbeinu is away. She sees Moshe Rabbeinu in the Teva. She sees the opportunity to do something. She goes and does it. And then what happens? Hashem's going to help you. Right? Pischolo Pesach Shel Sarah. What's the pasuk? What's the midrash? And Hashem opens up even the smallest little opening, or you open up a little small opening, and then Hashem does the rest. Karshbar Masayin Oso. Hashem's going to finish the job for you, and that's what he says here. Ha'ikar hu haratzon v'hamasa. The main objective, the essence of every mitzvah, or our approach to every mitzvah, is just that we want to do it, that we're willing to do it, and we start to do it, and then Hashem. V'hanes memele yavo. The nes will happen. The miracle will happen. Now, obviously, we don't see babies going down rivers in you know, tar plastered little
pitch.
Arc, pitch, whatever, you know, little arcs. We don't see those. But we also have our own things that we might look at and say, that's not something I can do. Dafyomi, I could never do dafyomi. That. Alone is rachish lenisa, right? There's no way. We don't depend on miracles, right? You know, there's some other things. You know, maybe, you know, davening, coming to davening on time to the 6:15 minyan. There's no way I can get up that early, right? You just try a little bit. Set your alarm. You're going to think you need more coffee? Well, try it and see what happens. And see what happens. Hashem will help you. Hashem will make sure that whatever goal that you have in mind, if it's for a mitzvah and you start to try to do it, Hashem will help you continue. Baruch Hashem, today in Daf Yomi, we finished the first parak of Shas. That's an accomplishment. Whatever anyone's goal was, you know, we talked about a lot of times, the goal is not to finish all of Shas. Whatever the goal was, we started, and we finished an entire parak. When was the last time someone in our shir, besides those who did Daf Yomi, finished an entire parak of Shas? It was probably back in Yeshiva that I went through an entire parak of Shas. Probably, it's been years since I've done that. Right? Just because every time I learn Gemara, I learn a little piece here, a little piece there. But
7 and a half years ago.
since May email, when you learn with the Malach. but that's the point. When you start something, Hashem will make sure that He helps you to make it happen, even if it seems instrumental. That's what we learn, according to the Kutzke Rebbe, from Bas Paro. It's true, she needed a little extra length on her arms, but that didn't stop her from starting. Yeah.
All she could do was reach out her arm, but God can control the current.
Okay.
She didn't reach her arm.
That's another possibility.
A person has to do all they can and not do it because
That's too much of a rational approach for the Pshis Kashir. We can hold it off for a little bit later.
For those who have a hard time with her arm extended, it didn't happen to the extent.
Yeah. Okay. A similar theme. I'll say it like this. And this is something which every year in Parsha Shmos, people ask the question, and every year people throw their hands up and say, I don't know what it means. And it comes to Moshe and the Sneh Moshe at the burning bush, which we might talk about later on also. So, when it comes to the burning bush, I just thought of what I'm going to talk about Shabbos afternoon.
Ain't it
Not
Ainenu ukel.
You told me that before. No, but ankles. Can you wear? Do you have to wear shoes when you daven? Maybe we'll talk about something like that. Okay. Well, you'll ein shum in the announcements to see what we're talking about on Shabbos afternoon. But what does Hashem say to Moshe Rabbeinu when Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Well, who should I say is sending me? Who should I say is putting me on this mission to look at the Jewish people?" What is Hashem's response? Tell them it's Vayomer Elokim Moshe Asher Eyah. Vayomer Kosa Marlev Neisrael Eyah Shorachani Alechem. What does Eyah mean? I will be. Moshe Rabbeinu is supposed to go to the Jewish people, and they're going to say, "Who sent you here?" And I'm going to say, "Some guy named I will be." What does that mean? What are we supposed to learn from that? What is the name of Eheyeh supposed to mean? So throughout this shiur, oftentimes we assume, and somewhat rightfully so, we assume that Pshischa was really the movement of Pshischa Chasidus, or the Chasidus that comes from Pshischa, is oftentimes attributed to Rav Simcha Banim of Pshischa. But the truth is, the person who started Pshischa was not Rav Simcha Banim. Does anyone remember who started Pshischa Chasidus? Someone named the Yid HaKadosh, the Holy Jew. And he's not called a rabbi. I like to think that this is actually paralleling some of Pshischa Chasidus' mentality, which is you don't have to be a Rebbe to be special, to take your life into your own hands, to be autonomous over your own Avodas Hashem. You don't need the Rebbe. You have Rebbes for guidance, but you're not at their beck and call for every single thing you have to do in life. So he called himself the Yid HaKadosh, and he broke off with Rav Simcha Banim from the school of the Choza of Lublin, the seer of Lublin, who was in many ways the inheritor of the prime example of a Rebbe. Like, you have to go to the Rebbe for everything, and he's sort of your guiding force, and he's your conduit to Hashem, etc. The Yid HaKadosh breaks off from the Choza of Lublin. His name was Rav Yaakov Yitzchak Rabinovich, I think. And he and Rav Simcha Banim were sort of partners. And when the Yid HaKadosh passed away, so Rav Simcha Banim took over. So maybe because he assumed in this way that he wasn't a Rebbe or a Rebbe figure in the same kind of way that other people are, he didn't really write Svarim. And we don't have many of his Shiurim or his Sichas. We don't really have a lot from the Yid HaKadosh. But we have things here and there quoting from the Talmidim. So he says over here, Ehaya Asher Ehaya. What does that mean? Lama Nikra Shemo Shel Kadosh Baruch Hu Ehaya Asher Ehaya. This is the first time I've ever heard a kanta, a real meaning to these words. He says the following, Kishem Ze More Al Hatshuva. This name of Hashem, Ehaya Asher Ehaya, is a reference to someone doing tshuva. What does it mean, a reference to someone doing tshuva? He says, "Kishe'adam ischared v'omer." When a person feels bad about what they've done, he says, "I haven't been as good as I could have been. I have to do better." And he says to himself, "Ehiya tov mehayom ve'elach. I will be good from today and onward." Right? We talked about this from Nachman of Breslov also. "Va'nachnu v'archa me'atav yad olam." Today's a new leaf. I'm not looking backwards. I'm not feeling bad for what happened in the past. I'm working from now and onwards. That's how I'm going to approach Hashem. Says the Yid HaKadosh also. A person says to themselves, Ehiyeh tov mehayom ve'elach. From today onward, I'm going to be a different person. New Year's resolution. I'm just going to be different now on. Miyad meishiv lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In response to that person saying, Ehiyeh tov, gam ani ehiyeh itcha. Says Hashem, I'll also be with you. Don't worry what happened in your past. Don't worry about the mistakes that you made last week or yesterday. If you say Ehiyeh, I will also say Ehiyeh. If you say Ehiyeh, I will be better. I will say Ehiyeh, I'll go with you. I'm going to be with you. Don't think that I'm going to hold, you know, a grudge to what you, Hashem, is saying to a person like this. Don't think that because of your past, I'm going to not be with you, or you have to do a lot more to make it up to me. No, I can wipe a slate clean too. If you do tshuva and you say Ehiyeh Tov, I'm also going to say Ehiyeh Itcha. I'm going to be with you. Ehiyeh Itcha ve'eshra alecha eshchinasi. I will dwell my presence upon you. And says the Gita Kadosh, that's what it means. Ehiyeh, says Hashem, I will be with person who says Asher Ehyeh. I will be with that who with those who say I will be. Ehyeh Asher Ehyeh. I will be with those who say I will be. Meaning I will be with them and they will be getting better.
So is he disagreeing with the Rambam who says that the requirement for tshuva includes charata on the past?
Well, he says a person has to. This is why he's saying I'm starting anew, because he feels bad about the past. He says the word escharet, mitzcharet. He says I feel bad. Yeah. There are other things you have to do for tshuva, right, also, right, which might be in line with that question. But that's what the Yid HaKadosh says, and that's how he understands. Moshe Rabbeinu, and this is sort of my extension of it. I don't know where this piece is because I don't have a sefer from the Yid HaKadosh. I don't know of one. And so I'm just going to extrapolate by myself. Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Hashem and he says, how am I supposed to approach the Jewish people? Who am I supposed to tell them is coming before them? Right? Hashem already told him, I'll just tell them I'm going to be the one to take them out of Egypt. I'm going to save them, etc. And Moshe Rabbeinu says back to him, why would you save these people? What have they done recently that would merit some salvation? Why would you redeem them? Who are they to you? They're Egyptians. They've been there for 200 years. They're culturally assimilated. They're slaves. What good are they? And that's what the Jewish people will say back to me. They're going to say to me, who are you? Who are you talking about? Why would anybody want us? And Hashem says, tell them, Ehyeh Asher Ehyeh. Tell them that if they make the decision that they'll go with me, then I'll make the decision to go with them. And ultimately, it comes to Karban Pesach, it comes to B'damaya Chayi, the Karban Pesach, the Bris Milah, the blood over the doorpost. When they say, Ehyeh, I'll be with Hashem, then Asher Ehyeh, Asher Ehyeh, I will be with the person that says, I will be. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu brings back to the Jewish people. That's what Hashem is saying. The person that will be with you is sending for you. Meaning there is someone, there is a power that's willing to invest in this relationship as long as you're willing to also. So that's what the Yid HaKadosh explains, is this message of Ehyeh Asher Ehyeh, which maybe, I don't know if you've ever heard a reasonable understanding of it, but that certainly speaks to me in terms of how to interpret this pasuk. So number one, we said, when it comes to Bas Paro, she's looking at the river, and she's saying, how could I ever do this? Just go ahead and do it. Just go for it. Don't do the jumping jacks. Don't think about it too much. Don't do calculations. If you have something you're supposed to do, go ahead and do it. And similarly, we see from the Yid HaKadosh that Hashem's message to the Jewish people is Ehyeh Asher Ehyeh. If you're willing to push forward and you're willing to just say, I'm going to do it, so I'm going to be with you too. Same thing, a similar theme. That when Bas Paro said, I'm going to try to do it, Hashem was with her too. And her hands extended, and Hashem allowed it to happen, made it happen. And so to the Jewish people, Ehyeh Asher Ehyeh, Hashem will be with the Jewish people as long as they try. As long as they say, I'm going to be different from today and onward. So then Hashem will be with them. And as we know, history tells us that that's exactly what happened, at least according to one midrash, to one-fifth of the people, if not for more than them, for more than that. Those who say, Ehyeh Tov, those who say that I'm going to be better, I'm going to go ahead and do it. So too Hashem responds, Ehyeh Itcha, I will be with you. And that's what happens, and that's what hopefully we'll be learning about for the next few weeks as we go on in understanding Yetzias Mitzrayim. Okay, Shkayach, have a good Shabbos.